That's a hit record. It is the theme from Caddyshack by Kenny Loggins called I'm All Right, a motion picture which stars, among others, Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney, Ted Knight.
Ted Knight.
Billy Murray.
Bill Murray is in it. And
Michael O'Keefe.
And
John Belushi.
And Chevy Chase, of course, who we welcome to WNEW-FM.
Thank you, Pete. Goodbye.
Now, cut that out. I want to get some straight answers out of you to some crooked questions before this this afternoon is over. I do not mean to start this out on a down note. In fact, considering what we did to Andy Fisher in the new news, that is impossible. But I do know that one of your purposes in being in New York right now is not a very happy one.
No, that's true. Matter of fact, the movie Caddyshack was produced by my best friend, Doug Kenny, who passed away by falling off a cliff in Hawaii. We were there on a vacation for some time, and then I came back to California, and he was going hiking, and it was an accident. And so, in a, sort of in memoriam, I'm just, you know, mentioning, his, you know, that Doug is gone, and that was his movie, and he was also the founder of the Lampoon, and very, very funny, and great guy. Yeah. It's a shame. He was 33. His memory is going to be with us. So,
I imagine that a situation like that, particularly for someone so publicly known for laughter and comedy and being funny as yourself, did it force you to confront questions of your own mortality, et cetera, et cetera?
Oh, certainly, yeah. It was very rough. I mean, it was hard on, obviously, his family, and I was, I guess, his closest friend. And, yeah, it's very hard to get used to something like that very fast. I mean, it takes time to find out how you're going to react, and people react quickly sometimes, others react, takes them a while to get used to the fact that it's happened. But enough about you.
I suspect
let's not overdo it,
the best thing the best remedy for such a thing is to throw one's self into one's work, and
yeah.
You are... I mean, you are visible and audible in almost every medium of communication there is right now.
Pretty busy, except
yes.
For postcards, I think, pretty much.
A line of Chevy Chase postcards would...
just if somebody would just write me a postcard, I'd appreciate it.
Let's talk about...
I wrote my father a postcard once.
Let's talk about the movies first,
yeah.
Chevy, if you don't mind.
Okay.
There's a controversy about one
in
the New York area. Which is Heavenly Dog.
I've yet to see that movie. Do you know that?
And all of New York has yet to see that movie because of some complication.
I guess it's not out.
Do you know what the problem is?
I have no idea. I haven't followed. I just had enough time to do Benji's voice at night while I was working on the last movie I made, which it seems like old times, a movie of Goldie Hawn, a Neil Simon movie. During the other parts of nights, I would go and mix my album, which we're going to hear some of, I guess, today.
Yes.
And reshoot some scenes from Caddyshack. It was so busy that I never got to see a full screening of the Benji movie, so I have yet to really know what the full story is even. I don't know why if it's playing in New York.
Well, here's the problem as I understand it. The movie that preceded it in the theaters where it was booked did so well that that movie was held over.
Uh-huh.
I think it's My Bodyguard or something like that.
I'm sorry to hear it.
And
I haven't seen Your Bodyguard.
As a result of that, your picture is getting kind of shut out.
I mean, big deal. It's just a dog movie. Pretty funny. The dog's better than I am. But
can you give us a synopsis of how one manages to co-star with Benji and come out with any credibility at all?
I slept with her. Benji, you know, the idea really is... when you're going to do as much as possible in life and has variety, why don't you do something you could put your grandson on your knee later and tell him was a strange thing to have done besides drive big rigs, which I used to do, and things of that nature. Excuse me, New York. And the premise is that a young detective is on a case, he's killed, and he comes back to Earth as Benji. I could have come back as Warren Beatty, but I chose Benji. And... I never really worked with Benji because I did Benji's thoughts, much the way you'd hear Morris the Cat or something.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, Benji's become a filthy animal. I understand it is a PG. His language is a little worse than it would be normally. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I don't remember him talking a lot before. So it's an amazing dog, though. This dog really does dial phones and pick up his pants on time.
And this was one of those
much
animals.
Like Andy Fisher does.
This was one of those animals saved from the pound and taught to do such things, isn't
yeah,
that right?
I think he was, yeah.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, it's a terrific movie from what I can remember of doing it. I mean, it's great fun, great story, and great for kids, too. And I happen to love kids, and any dog that can act so well, I like dogs, too. Is that good?
Are you on screen much, or?
Yes, I'm on screen to the first 20 minutes, and then off and on throughout the film, and as you know, I'm on the screen right now.
Yes, here at WNEW-FM in New York, our
reality.
In-studio guest, Chevy Chase. Listen, maybe you can answer this for me. How did you handle the difference, and I'm sure there's a major difference, between the immediacy of what you used to do on television, where maybe from the moment of conception until airtime, it was a matter of hours, versus a motion picture now, where your work on it was done 6 months ago and you haven't even seen it yet, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Liquor. hard liquor, pretty much. Bushmills.
I knew I was in
okay,
trouble.
Okay, the answer
that
to that is there is a big difference. Obviously, Saturday Night Live was one of the most fun things I ever did in my life. I think actually making this album that I made is the most fun, but it's a different process. Of course, it took a year. Movies take maybe 12 weeks of shooting, and you're doing one thing, and then all of a sudden you've got to stand there and wait till the cameras are moved around or go to your dressing room, whatever. Shoot it again. Saturday Night was the immediacy was really there. I mean, I was writing all week, and then I would wing it, basically, because I'd written for everybody else anyway, except the news. It's over with once you've done it. There's no second chance. You don't say, oh, sorry, my mistake. Can we just come back and do that again? That's it. It's done. Film is a pain in the neck. You have to wait around, and it's also a different craft. You have to remember what you did that was comic before, because you're now going to do it from the right side or the left side or from underneath if you're a lucky fella. And that's the way it is. How you handle it is as I say, a lot of liquor, tremendous amount of liquor.
I guess the first experience that you had motion picture-wise was Foul Play.
Yeah.
Big hit.
Yeah.
Starring you and Goldie Hawn, and that's due on the tube.
Is that true?
This fall.
I'm sorry to hear it. Really? You know, I'll look small again?
You will. You'll be back to...
I won't look my regular height? they're playing it on
yes,
television?
Yes, it does. It will come back to haunt you.
Well, it won't be live, folks.
As I guess will...
But I will get residuals. And of course, you'll all wonder what size my feet are.
The Saturday Night Live stuff, which they kept throwing back at us, still do. You were on like a week or so ago, the Dick...
What is the matter with people? They're still playing me?
They are. I mean, you must know that. You must be aware of it. You must even occasionally sit down, tune in, and watch.
Do you know
Does
something?
Does it hold up for you?
The fact is, I don't.
Really?
I don't have a television. I'm pretty broke, and I was hoping that those of you out there who haven't called in yet will turn your set off and send me a buck. I don't watch it that much. I know that there are a lot of reruns, and I just don't happen to stay up that late on Saturday night. It's not unless I'm working or something. It's just not. I used to work that late, as you know.
Yes.
But of course, it's been 4 years since I was on the show. I've had grandchildren since then. Movies is a completely different experience because you're up at 5 in the morning and you're working all day, and then you know, by the time you're through, you're really hitting the sack pretty early.
So a dramatic shift in lifestyle
oh, yeah.
here.
I couldn't listen to Alison Steele anymore late at night or whatever. And, is she still here?
Over on the other side, on the AM dial.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew that would happen. I told her.
Well, you left town, you see, and then everything changed in your absence. Music was always...
I understand that the RVR has changed, that they just changed it suddenly to country and western, which must have been real funny for Billy Taylor and people like that.
Rather quickly, yes.
Yeah.
That was done...
That's kind of bad, frankly, in my opinion. Nothing against the people at RVR, it's just that...
Tell me.
We used to have our own National Lampoon Radio Hour on RVR. And
that's
I think
right.
it was a religious church-owned station at that time?
Possibly so. It has gone through a couple of changes in ownership.
The church made a fool of themselves, of course, by playing the National Lampoon Radio Hour. But it became a jazz station. I mean, it was a jazz station. And it was the only one in New York, as far as I knew. I love jazz. I mean, it's just a question of loving good music, too. Country and Western is also good, too, I guess. But I can't imagine New York City losing a jazz station. It's just beyond me.
Well, they're...
And to surprise people that way. It says, good morning, come on in. You're going to play Charlie Pride now. Instead of Charlie Mingus. It's not right. It
says something about the industry, doesn't it?
Yeah. Which industry?
Yours or mine?
Yeah, all of them. It just says something about people needing money so bad that they'll fool others or something.
Well, there seems to be a very grassroots response to it all, too. There were stories on the news last evening about gatherings of irate former listeners.
I heard there were be-ins, sit-ins.
Yeah, and once before, that kind of movement was successful in changing things around at a classical music station. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this one.
I remember when WINS was all rock, and it was all news.
And then
now it's all news, I guess.
You were upset about the change.
I was upset, yeah.
Suddenly Murray the K was no longer there.
He was reading the news poorly.
Jerry, music was always an important part of the Saturday Night Live mix.
Yeah.
Were you involved in those kinds of selections or decisions?
Oh, quite a bit. The selections of groups, sure. I mean, when I was there the first year, I was Lauren and I were like brothers, and we pretty much made decisions together. Only because I was the head writer. I was hired as a head writer at the time, this didn't mean that there weren't other good writers. Just so happens there weren't. But there was Michael O'Donohue. He can read. But so that meant that I was in a position to be around Lauren in a sort of production capacity, and I'd written a lot of television before and whatnot, and we made decisions on music. In fact, the second show was Paul Simon, and I remember cutting, meaning editing a piece of Paul playing basketball to me and Julio down by the schoolyard. He played with Connie Hawkins. In fact, Paul made no shots when we shot the thing, but I cut it and edited it to make it look as if he made all the shots, and Connie lost badly. It was a one-on-one game. Paul's all 5 feet tall, and they're happy to hear about it. And in fact, we're going to play a little number in a little while that mentions Paul.
That's right.
How tall he is.
That's coming up right now. In fact, you have done a very daring thing.
Thank
which
you.
Is someone in your position who could easily record a comedy album, you know, down at the Improv or, you know, bits and pieces from your TV things or movie things, chose not to do that at all, but rather put together truly a musical comedy album. Why don't we listen to a cut from it, and then we'll talk a bit about it. Would you like to do the honors?
Sure. This is called Short People, and of course I change the words and I do all the voices.
Short people.
Chevy, have you heard from Randy Newman yet?
I have not heard from Randy. We had a very short conversation about this about a year ago when I started working on this album. He didn't seem to be bothered by it in any way. I've heard that he's heard it and considers it an apology on his part for his own version.
And this is a statement.
Actually, I have heard from Randy, yes.
And
he was delighted.
No lawsuits.
Oh no! He still wears just a tie and a jacket.
It's 12:28. This is Pete Fornital at WNEW FM in New York with my special guest Chevy Chase, and we will be talking more about his new album right after these words.
You know what's hard about being a traveling singer? Shoot, singing ain't so hard, but traveling, that's another story. I've sung a lot of songs about 100 times. I stay up all night and I never feel tired singing rhythm, blues, and rhymes. But when it comes to moving a change from town to town, we travel the road in a broken down bus and it always gets me down. It's so hard, but when the hard part's through, that's when I go for something easy like A&W. Nothing's so smooth
and easy
as A&W. Nothing so smooth
and easy
as A&W. Nothing so smooth.
A&W Root Beer. On the long, hard road, there's nothing so smooth and easy
as A&W.
Oh, little Tina, you got so much love.
If you'd like to hear another 3 hours of Elton John, come to Central Park's Great Lawn on Saturday, September 13th at 3 p.m., where Calvin Klein Jeans will be presenting Elton John in concert, free. Hear Elton in a free concert to preserve New York City's parks. This Saturday, the Great Lawn, Elton John, free. Gordon J. Davis, Commissioner of Parks and Recreation, produced by John Reed Enterprises at WNEW-FM.
Richard Chamberlain returns to NBC television in his most dynamic role ever as Captain Pilot Blackthorn in James Clavell's Shogun, the epic saga of a shipwrecked adventurer who discovers a mysterious exotic land where no Englishman has ever dared venture. James Clavell's Shogun, an awesome drama of passion, intrigue, and adventure. Starts September 15th on NBC. Consult local listings for time and channel.
That's your network.
It is?
Your network is...
Oh, no, I left them.
Really?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring up...
Oh, that's not important. Silverman's just kind of a rude guy. I don't like him, okay?
Okay, let's move on to... Will you help us...
Oh, I'd be sure.
Tell the people...
Certainly, delighted to.
Tell the people about what's happening in this city on Saturday.
Okay, we've got some more details for you on our free Elton John concert in Central Park this Saturday. The show starts at 3 p.m. and will happen at the Great Lawn, which is located between 81st and 86th Streets on the west side of the park. The best entrance is at 81st Street and Central Park West. You can take the A, AA, B, CC trains to 81st Street or 86th Street, or the number 10 Central Park West bus, or give me a ring. Remember that no cars will be permitted in the park that day, so driving anywhere near the area will be futile, because, of course, there won't be any cars there. We hope you'll enjoy the show and leave the park cleaner than you found it. That's a strange thing, I understand that. That's Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Great Lawn in Central Park. Elton John, presented by Calvin Klein Jeans and the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation, Gordon Davis, Commissioner. And let me say this, Elton will not be there.
Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm kidding.
Wait a minute. Stop the press.
I think he will be.
Will you be? Will you? I mean, this
Oh, I'll be there, yes. I'll be introducing him to Calvin, and we'll both be putting on the same pair of jeans.
This is an event, of course, on Saturday, Elton John, live and free in Central Park, beginning at 3 p.m. on the Great Lawn.
Yeah.
Thank you for your... I think.
Pleasure
you.
Was all yours.
Thank you, I think.
No, I think I read it correctly.
You did very well.
I added a couple of things.
You've done radio, I can tell.
I'm done with radio. I'm finished with radio.
Yes, I have done radio. A man for all media.
You're a very high caliber woman to say that, Pete. And, that's true. He moves his head on the mic.
I said before that your album was daring.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
For me, it's daring because because of the amount of work and the fact that I was doing so many other things at the same time and all the voices and everything. This album is really a collaboration between me and Tom Scott, who did most of the arranging. What I did was sing and write new words to songs, and also actually write new songs and play some instruments. But we had with us Richard T. and Steve Gadd and Ed Green and Neil Steuben, also great musicians, mm-hmm. great studio guys. They're all friends of mine, and the fact that is most people don't know that my favorite thing in life is music. That's not something I ever wanted to make bread off of. So whether this album makes money or not isn't really a concern to me.
And would you
get right out there and buy it?
Would you care to tell the people what your favorite radio station for music was in those years when you were living in New York City?
Most certainly. What the heck was that station? No, we were talking, Pete and I were talking during the break about Andy Fisher's Calvin Klein jeans. We were talking about the fact that NEW was the one I listened to.
That's nice
There's
to
no
hear.
Question. That and jazz, RVR.
Well, now...
Now it's going to have to be just NEW, and I don't know. What are they going to do? They should play some jazz. We'll play some jazz later, maybe,
okay.
if I'm still around.
Sounds good to me. Back to the album for a second. Do you like comedy albums, quotes?
No. I honestly don't, frankly. Comedy is very visual to me. It's rhythms. One of the reasons I consider this musical comedy is because it melds the two together, rhythm and blues, of course. But, I mean, Tom Scott, for instance, on the side, is a very funny man. On the side, I'm a very good musician. These are not things we do for a living. He does musicianship, and I do funny. That's why it was an interesting collaboration. This particular song that we're about to hear is my version of I Shot the Sheriff. And it appears that I may be having trouble with the fact that there are drug references. But the interesting thing is, if you listen to the words, you'll find that it's really kind of an anti-drug message. It started when I heard all these things about people taking that angel dust, PCP, and completely going bats, going out on the streets naked and shooting people. So, of course, I decided it must be a great drug, right? So, basically, I clowned around with the words here, and I did these voices, too, and it's a different version. You'll find that it's a different track, too, but it's fun. It's called I Shot the Sheriff.
Let's let the people decide.
All right.
Have you heard from Bob Marley?
Oh, yes, I have. I heard from him right through the elbow. No, as a matter of fact, I did hear from Bob, and same thing, great response. Loved it. Particularly loved the track. I heard from people like Ralph McDonald and friends of mine in New York here, who are musicians who love the tracks, because, of course, these are great musicians in the back. I'm not sure Bob got it at the time. I think he was hitting his head on a mic or something. But in other words, it wasn't exactly promoting the use of these substances, you know. And nor did he necessarily. He just seems to live on it at his concerts or something. I actually watched Bob come out on the stage once. I was up at the Apollo, and I was there to introduce Stuff. It was a group and a friend of mine, friends of mine, and Bob Marley was playing, and a song come out, and these guys were all Rastas, you know, and they loved pot. I mean, they not loved it; they just smoked so much. It was amazing, and it was the best pot in the world. I mean, if you were gonna, he came out and began to sing. He was so gone, he just simply hit his mouth on the microphone and cut his lip. And it was still one of the great concerts. You know, it was really.
Occupational hazard under those circumstances, I suppose. My question to you, which you neatly sidetracked, was I was going to ask you how you came to that determination about the quality of the substance, but we'll move right along. It's 18 before 1 at WNEW-FM in New York. We are talking to Chevy Chase, and we'll continue to right
you
after
want any
these
more
words.
Of this, Pete?
A medical phenomenon is affecting the popular English rock group The Vapors. Doctors in London report that while the young men seem to be in perfect health, they are turning Japanese. The bizarre transformation appears to be extremely contagious, as very many of group's fans also turning Japanese. If you like rock and roll, you'll love Vapor's new album, New Career Day, includes singer turning Japanese. One luck of the tapes from United Artists. Domo arigato, sayonara.
And you can see The Vapors at The Diplomat on Friday and at Trax on Saturday. Their new LP is available for the low price of $4.99 at JNR Music World.
You haven't seen him yet?
No.
This is Susanna Stell's first experience with Series 35. Photomat's bigger, beautiful pictures from her 35mm camera.
They're much larger than what I expected.
They're 4x6.
Doesn't this look at this?
Do you take a lot of pictures?
Sure do.
Well, if you have a nearby Photomat store, many of you have a 35mm camera, more of you should know about Series 35.
Good resolution, fine grain.
Are they sharp?
Good clarity.
Would you say these are as good as you might get from a custom developer?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what a custom picture looks like?
I should. I am a professional photographer.
Photomat Series 35.
Really?
Prints that are 37% bigger, quality that's 100% custom.
So I guess you're used to paying custom developer prices.
Ridiculous.
Series 35. Custom quality at a Photomat price.
How come they don't charge more?
And here's a real bargain from the Photomat store right now. When you bring in any roll of film for developing, Photomat will replace it with a good fresh roll for just half price. Photomat color print film, half price for every roll you get developed. Maybe that's what's the matter with Oh Heavenly Dog. It's not back from Photomat yet.
Here it is, the grand finale of Great Adventures September Concert Series, sponsored by Dr. Pepper. It starts with the smooth country rock of Poco for an exciting show on Saturday, September 13th. Then on Sunday, September 14th, orbit into outer space with the phenomenal music of Utopia with Todd Rundgren, Roger Powell, Kasim Sultan, and Willie Wilcox. And enjoy the Grease Band daily through September 14th. Concerts are at 6 and 8:30 p.m., but come early and stay late so you can get all the super fun Great Adventure has to offer. The thrilling rides, the daredevil aquatic shows, the wild and wonderful drive-through safari. Yes, it's all yours, plus Poco, Saturday, September 13th, Utopia, Sunday, September 14th, and the Grease Band, daily through the 14th. All at Great Adventure September Concert Series. Be a Pepper. Drink Dr. Pepper.
Life in the Fast Food Lane. Startled by the news that Kevin had been expelled from self-esteem training and run off with Paella, his aerobic dancing partner, Connie, concerned with Kevin's suddenly erratic behavior, confronted Calvin over bacon cheeseburgers at Roy Rogers.
This is new, isn't it?
Sure is new. A quarter pound of ground beef, hot melted cheese, and crisp bacon on a soft Kaiser roll.
I was talking about Kevin, Calvin.
Oh, he loves Roy Rogers' new bacon cheeseburgers. This is real bacon.
I wonder about her.
Oh, she probably likes them too. But don't worry, they must have Roy Rogers' new bacon cheeseburgers wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin wouldn't have gone there. Good, isn't it?
You're so comforting, Calvin.
Let's see here. No wonder Calvin is smiling. Or was it Kevin? Well, anyway, at Roy Rogers, you can get the new bacon cheeseburger, and that's what everyone's talking about. A quarter pound of ground beef, melted cheese, and crisp smoked bacon on a soft Kaiser roll. It's real good fast food, and only at Roy Rogers. It reminds me that on one of the reruns recently, they showed your feed bag commercial.
Oh, that's right, from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Yeah, feed bags.
That's
for fast food eating.
I mean, there is a legacy of material that you did for that program that will just go on and on and on forever.
I'll tell you something, that was the biggest, most important time in my life in terms of getting something innovative on television, getting it on the air, actually. Although it was late night and top of the minors, in a sense, it really was fun. It was good stuff. Those commercial parodies were the most fun to write.
Sure.
And the easiest, too, in a sense.
And you had to condition your audience originally. I mean, now people expect them.
To beat them down. Yeah. I noticed after I left that, I mean, there were many things I couldn't say or do on Saturday night the first year. I used to have to talk to the censor, Traviesis. He'd be on his yacht somewhere in Miami. And tell him, no, seriously, Carson did it last night. You know, I'd lie, finally. I'd say, Carson said it. And they'd let it go, you know, when it was a lie that he had said it. Because at one point he had said one thing that I was telling him. Or else I'd have O'Donohue or somebody like that walk in front of the monitor just before I did something wrong, in front of the monitor where the censor would be watching in the back, you know, and ask the censor a question like, do you mind if I use the word blank? You know, just a terrible word. You know, the censor's attention is taken off the fact that I'm about to wing something on the phone, you know, to my girlfriend or my wife. That's not exactly good television fare.
Those moments, though,
were great.
Were wonderful.
It was great fun, it really was.
And they were barrier-breaking. I mean, I think you guys were responsible for an incredible... I mean, you must see your influence in other shows. Well, you don't...
I can see it now. I couldn't see it. I really haven't seen many of the shows. I've hardly seen any of the ones I was in because I had no time to look at them. You really just sort of had to hit the sack and get up and start writing again on Monday for the new.
You ought to tune in.
I'm going to tune in.
It's good stuff.
I've seen some of the tapes and some of the reruns, and it's changed quite a bit. You know, it gets better, it gets worse, it gets odder. Most certainly, I have to say that the show was still the most unusual show on television when I saw it last year, even.
Well, I'll tell you my favorite, and then we'll move on to something else. Your word association test with
Richard?
With Richard Pryor.
You should have seen when we wrote that. I was sitting there with Richard, and when I first met Richard, I thought he might shoot me. And then I realized that we were going to get along because I could make him laugh. And to this day, we're very good friends. And the only way to disarm Richard, really, is to get him laughing harder. Or else, if you're white, you might as well go away. And I can get him to laugh hard. And at that time, I was saying to Richard, here's the bit, and how many words do you know for whitey? You know, how many well, there are plenty for blacks, you know.
Sure.
Just have been all through the years, and I was making up things and just, you know, incredible. He had great words, and when we did the bit, he forgot a couple of them. So, and I know that there were cards there and everything he could read from, but we were just rolling, and he said something to the effect of honky, then he said, dead honky. You know, or he said, your mama's mama. You know, he would just add to it, no matter what.
Right,
he'd wing
it. Honky. Honky.
Yeah,
honky.
Yeah, dead honky.
Honky.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There was one where I did forget. It was honky. I guess that's what it was. And I was calling him Burrhead. You know, I mean, the things that was just a steady, it was a job interview, and we're just going to ask you a few questions, if you would. Tree, house, good. You know, and then I just said, Negro, and he goes, Whitey. And all of a sudden, you know, it gets down to the, I'm going, Spear Chucker, and he's going honky lip, you know, getting angrier and angrier. It was he's a terrific.
It was brilliant. Guy. And not only was it brilliant, but the thing that I most liked about that piece was that when NBC celebrated its 50th anniversary in 1976, and they did that four-hour show with Orson Welles, of all of the things that they could have picked to represent Saturday Night Live, that was the one that they did. And
yeah, that's
it was
great.
The most outrageous.
He's okay, incidentally, for those of you who don't know. He's doing very well, and he's very happy. And we're keeping him away from Jamaica and Jamaican rum.
Get him back to work, too.
Yeah, getting him back to work.
Yeah, Chubby, what do we got here now? This is a dip back into the Lampoon days.
Yeah, it's just a very quick thing. It's Christopher Guest doing Flash Basbell. I was trying to come up with something here that one of the things that Doug Kenny had written, he used to write these little things a lot, and this is just one that's very brief. And then after that, we've got my version of 16 Tons on my other on the album today. If you're going to be going from one to the other, I don't know how you...
Let's do it.
And now, Chapter 15 of Flash Basbell, Space Explorer. When we last left Flash, he had successfully escaped the giant dung beetles from the planet, only to be hijacked by Lord Overshoulder Boulder Holder's band of suicide suppositories. Now, about to be burned at the stake, Flash discovers a way to outwit his captors.
Listen, let me go. If you untie my foot and legs, then I can walk away, and I'll come back later. Hey, listen, there's a phone call for you.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man is made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood, skin and bone. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and you're deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. Step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? You get another day older and you're deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. To the company store.
There's not much time for anything but that. But any, I would be doing another album, I would think, within the next year or two.
And television plans, or not for a while?
In order to promote the record, for instance, I'll be doing the Midnight Special, which is a show I like to watch a lot. Anyway... whether I liked it or not isn't the issue, I guess. Not really. It's conceivable that they'll be having trouble on Saturday night, there being nobody on it. And they may ask me to come and host it or something, and I may come by and host that or something.
Well, you did do that a couple of times
in
succeeding seasons. Do you miss having Gerald Ford to kick around?
No, we live together.
Thanks again, Jerry. Good luck with
Thanks,
the album.
Pete. Don't forget that my hamsters.
See you again the next time through.
The first things I remember are frosty Carolina mornings with a cheery fire crackling in my mama's big black wood cook stove.
John Cher presents the Charlie Daniels Band and special guest Poco, Sunday, September 14th, 2 p.m.